This is session number 69 of the Gospel according to John. We're in John chapter number 10. And last time we just discussed some important thoughts and important points regarding some wrong interpretation and wrong application of John 10, verse 10. So praise God, we're going to get past verse 10 today, and we're going to move forward to verse 11. And at this point, Jesus is going to speak the fifth I am, as found in the Gospel of John. And in verse 11, he's going to say, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He's going to reveal that he is the good shepherd. This is amazing because he's both the door and he's the good shepherd. How can he be both? He's both the Son of Man and he's the Son of God. He's both man and he's God. How can he be both? It's a mystery. Well, it is a mystery. And yet, the mysteries are revealed by the Spirit to the saints. But anyways, let's read some of this passage here, and then by the grace of God, we'll go through it. John 10, verse 11. Again, remember, Jesus is continuing to interpret the parable that he spoke at the beginning of this chapter. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd. A hireling is someone who's hired to do the job, but he doesn't actually own the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. He says, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Father, open our hearts, open our eyes, open our ears to receive wondrous things of thy mouth. Teach us, Lord. Help us to walk in thy truth. Unite our hearts to fear thy name. Amen. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. In Isaiah 40, verse 10 and 11, the scripture says, Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. In Ezekiel 34, verse 11, he says, For thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he's among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock. And I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. And he says, I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away. Will bind up that which was broken and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. And then he goes on and on. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Come on now. In Psalm 23, David said, The Lord, that's Jehovah, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Come on now. What a great testimony of the deity of Jesus Christ. Who else could stand amongst the people of God? What man could stand amongst the people of God? What pastor, or prophet, or evangelist, or apostle, or teacher could stand and say, I am the good shepherd? None, none, none other but the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who is God manifest in the flesh. Come on, you saw in Isaiah 40, that's the Lord God who's going to gather his sheep. We just read in Ezekiel 34, that's the Lord God who's going to search out his sheep, gather his sheep, and feed his sheep. So when Jesus Christ shows up and he says, I am the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. When he says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine, he is declaring very openly and clearly that he is the living God in the flesh. It's a great testimony of the deity of Christ. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He giveth his life for the sheep. Now I'm just going to make an interesting point here. In Leviticus 17, verse 11, God revealed that the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. It says, the life of the flesh is in the blood. Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd, and I give my life for the sheep. So he's both the good shepherd, Christ, the Messiah, he's the shepherd, but he's also the lamb who's going to give his life, that's his blood, for the sheep. The life of the flesh is in the blood. He says, I give my life for the sheep. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, Peter says that you're redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He gave his life. He gave his blood for the sheep. Jesus Christ, the good shepherd. He's both the good shepherd and the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. 1 Timothy 2 verse 6 says that Jesus Christ, the man Christ Jesus, gave himself a ransom for all. Gave himself a ransom for all. How did he do that? By giving his life for the sheep. But he gave it for all, not just the sheep. Now the sheep are the only ones who are going to really access it and are going to really benefit. But he gave his life a ransom for all. In Hebrews 13, verse 20, it says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Look at that. There he is. He's the great shepherd of the sheep, but he's also the lamb who shed his blood, the blood of the everlasting covenant. It says, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Amen? And he did. He gave himself. Galatians chapter 1, verse number 4, it says that he gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. In chapter 2, verse 20, Paul declares, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He gave himself for the sheep. And Paul goes, he loved me, and he gave himself for me, and now I can be one of his sheep because of his death and his resurrection and his faith and his blood. Titus chapter 2, Paul says by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost that Jesus Christ, our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. He gave himself for us. Why? That he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Christ is the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Do you understand what that means? He shed his very blood, the precious blood of God. The pure, spotless blood, like the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the everlasting covenant. He gave himself for us. He didn't give himself for us so that we can stay in sin, so that we can stay in defeat, so that we can stay in evil and uncleanness. No, Paul said he gave himself for me to deliver us from this present evil world. He gave himself for our sins. He gave himself to deliver us and purify us from all iniquity and make us a peculiar people, pure and zealous of good works. Christ gave himself for us so that we could finally live this new life in Christ, the life by the faith of the Son of God. He's the good shepherd, man. He gave his life for the sheep. Let's not make light of this. Gospel isn't just about like just trying to barely skate into heaven. Like he just said, I'm come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. Gave his life for the sheep. This isn't light. This isn't nothing. Let's not lightly esteem the blood of the everlasting covenant. He's going to talk more about himself in verse 14, but first he's going to then divert and look at the hireling. He's going to talk about the hireling, so let's just break down the hireling. Verse 12, he says, but he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, he seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he's an hireling and careth not for the sheep. Okay, now in the original parable, Jesus didn't really talk about the hireling. He talked about strangers. He didn't talk about the hireling and he didn't talk about the wolf. So now he's adding to his parable in this interpretation. Let's just break down this hireling. The hireling is, first thing, he's not the shepherd. The second thing is he's not the owner of the sheep. He's just working or watching the sheep for hire. So it's just a paid position. He doesn't actually own the sheep. Third thing is the hireling sees the wolf coming. It's ironic because in Acts 20, verse 29, Paul warned the elders of the church of Ephesus, said, you guys need to watch. You need to take heed unto yourselves. You need to, watch over the flock of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Again, Paul knew this is the price that he paid for his sheep, paid the highest price, gave his life. The life of the flesh is in the blood. He gave his blood. You better take heed to yourselves. You better take heed to the flock. The Holy Ghost, the one who made you overseers, you better feed this church. And he says, I know that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And what he's saying is, if you're going to be true overseers of the house of God, you're going to be genuine shepherds, not just hirelings, but genuine shepherds. You better watch, because the wolf's going to come and try and get in. You better stand and fight against that wolf to protect God's sheep. Because in John 10, Jesus is revealing the truth. The hireling, look, a hireling, he does the job of a shepherd. He looks like a shepherd. He operates like a shepherd. He's got the staff of a shepherd. But he's not the shepherd who owns the sheep. The sheep don't belong to him. It's just a paid position. So when the wolf comes, and it's a life or death situation, the hireling's not putting his life down on the line. This is just paid money. This is just a job. I'm getting out of here. See, he sees the wolf coming, fourth thing, and he leaves the sheep. He leaves. He's not there to protect the sheep. Doesn't really even care about the sheep. We'll talk about that in a second. He leaves the sheep. Leaves them when the wolf comes. Great example of this in the Word of God is Jeremiah chapter 39. Just a great example of a hireling king who wasn't a good shepherd king like David. He wasn't one who actually cared for the people of God and fed the people of God and led the people of God to victory and into obedience with God. He was just a hireling king who was just in it for the perks and just enjoying the high life and the good life and just living for self and just wanting to indulge and have a good time and party. In Jeremiah 39, when he's reigning, this King Zedekiah, that's when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, comes with all of his army against Jerusalem, and they besiege it. And then finally, in the 11th year of Zedekiah, in the fourth month, the ninth day of the month, the city was broken up. They finally break up, and they're going to come into the city. And what does Zedekiah do in verse 4? And it came to pass that when Zedekiah, the king of Judah, saw them and all the men of war, then they fled and went forth out of the city by night, by the way of the king's garden, by the gate betwixt the two walls, and he went out of the way of the plain. Now, praise God, verse 5, but the Chaldeans' army pursued after them and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. And when they had taken him, they brought him up to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, to Riblah in the land of Hamath, where he gave judgment upon him. But again, Zedekiah was very much a hireling shepherd. Now, yes, in one sense, he was a rightful king of Judah in that he was of the right lineage. But practically, he's a hireling. He doesn't give a rip about God's people. He didn't give a rip about doing God's will. He just is enjoying the high life and just living for the nice meals and the fancy time and the women. And when the wolf comes, when Nebuchadnezzar comes with his army, and as soon as they see him, boom, he's out of there. They flee. And guess what Nebuchadnezzar did to Jerusalem? Nebuchadnezzar absolutely crushed Jerusalem and crushed the women and crushed the children. Thankfully, they spared some. God was merciful. He allowed a remnant to be spared. But the wolf came and caught the sheep and devoured the sheep. Why? Because he was a hireling. He wasn't a good shepherd, and he certainly wasn't the good shepherd. And by the way, those who have ears to hear, let them hear. You got to understand, there's two different kinds of pastors on the earth today. There's pastors that are genuine shepherds that have been raised up by God himself, taught by God himself, been given the heart of God for God's people. And they're there to love God's people, feed God's people, correct God's people, protect God's people, fight for God's people, so that God's people can be presented before God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ one day, pure and spotless and blameless, because of the great price that our good shepherd Jesus Christ paid for his sheep. There's good shepherds and good pastors like that, real ones. But then there's a whole bunch of them that they look like pastors. They have the clothes of pastors. They do the job of pastors. They even carry the staff of pastors. But they're hirelings. It's a job. It's a paid position for them. And if you took away their salary, they wouldn't be pastoring anymore. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong for a pastor to get a salary, but there's a fine line there. You got to be careful. Because, just like Jesus said, the hireling, the one who the sheep are not his, he sees the wolf coming and he leaves the sheep. And not only just leaves the sheep, he fleeth. Not only I'm just going to leave, but I'm going to flee. I'm going to get out of there, do everything I can to save my own neck, live another day. And the result of that is the wolf catcheth the sheep and scattereth the sheep. Okay? In Nahum 3, verse 18, God said, thy shepherds slumber, O king of Assyria. Thy nobles shall dwell in the dust. Thy people is scattered upon the mountains, and no man gathereth them. There's no healing of thy bruise. Why? Because the shepherds were slumbering. They were sleeping. So you know what happened to the sheep? They were scattered, and no man gathered them. The wolf caught them. In Zechariah 1, there's an angel of the Lord that's revealing visions to Zechariah. And in verse 18, Zechariah lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, four horns. And I said unto the angel that talked with me, what be these? What are these? And he answered me, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. See, that happened during a time when there were almost no shepherds left to protect God's flock. So these four horns just came on. They were these kings that came and just scattered. They were like wolves that scattered the sheep. because it was just a bunch of hirelings. But praise God, then in verse 20, and the Lord showed me four carpenters. And then said I, what come these to do? And he spake, saying, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, so that no man did lift up his head. But these four carpenters are come to fray them, to cast out the horns of the Gentiles which lifted up their horn over the land of Judah to scatter it. So praise God, there were four carpenters. They were going to be good shepherds who were going to fight against the horns that scattered God's sheep. In Matthew 12, verse 30, Jesus said, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Remember, the wolf comes to catch the sheep and scatter them. Because if you're not with me, you're against me. And if you're not gathering with me, you're scattering. Again, we don't want to be wolves come against God's sheep, scattering God's sheep. And if we're the people of God, then let's pray that he might raise up some genuine shepherds. None of us are the good shepherd who purchased the flock with our own blood. Let's not be delusional, okay? But that he would raise up some genuine shepherds who are not hirelings, who aren't in it for the pay, but who genuinely care about God's sheep and will stand and fight against the wolves when they come to try to scatter God's people. But the hireling, he fleeth. He fleeth. Doesn't care. Wolf catches the sheep, scatters the sheep. He doesn't care. He flees. Why? Because he's an hireling. And he careth not for the sheep. He doesn't care about the sheep. This is why in 1 Timothy 3, when Paul is telling Timothy how to ordain a bishop, that's an overseer in the house of God, a spiritual shepherd, a spiritual overseer to oversee God's people. Look at the qualifications. A bishop must be blameless, the husband and wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. Why? Because this position of spiritual shepherd and spiritual overseer is really appealing to people who are greedy of money and are covetous and don't want to work hard. Listen, if you're not a genuine shepherd of the Lord, pastoring looks like a really easy job. Now look, if you're a genuine shepherd raised up by God, and you're laying down your life for the sheep like Jesus, and you're weeping for the sheep, and you're praying for the sheep, and you're interceding the sheep, and you're feeding them daily and trying to build them up in Christ, and you're standing with them to help them overcome their battles. Pastoring is not an easy job, and it is not to be taken lightly. You're taking on many cares and troubles and sorrows upon yourself and your family that you would never have to deal with if you didn't pastor. But from the outside, if you're just looking for a position where people admire you, if you're looking for a position where you can make easy money, you don't got to work hard, you don't got to work out in the field, you don't got to sweat, pastoring looks like a great job. And so it naturally can attract hirelings, people who are just in it for the paid salary and for all the perks. So Paul says, when you choose a bishop, you better choose the right kind of man with the right kind of character, with the right kind of discipline, and you better make sure this man, he's not greedy for money. He's not covetous. He's in this thing for the right reason. Because the hireling doesn't care for the sheep. So he'll come when everything's going great, and as soon as hard times come, he's out of there. And he doesn't care what happened to the sheep. No, no, no. We don't want to be like that. 1 Peter chapter 5. Peter, who was an elder, who was a shepherd and a pastor of God's people, says later in his life, he's older, he's been shepherding for a long time. He says in verse 2, he says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, that's money, but of a ready mind. Okay, neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. And then so again, he's given this charge. You need to feed God's people. And you do it willingly, and you better not be going after money, filthy money. You better be doing this of a ready mind. Whether there's money there for you or whether there's not money there for you, you do it because it's right in the eyes of God. You lay down your life and you set an example, just like Jesus, who's the great shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. Now, Jesus is the good shepherd, but there's many other good shepherds whom Jesus has raised up in him to shepherd his people. Jesus is the chief shepherd, but there's many other under-shepherds that Christ has raised up to shepherd his people. But the hireling, he flees. Why? Because he's a hireling. He doesn't care for the sheep. But that's not Christ. That's not Christ. Verse 14, Christ says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine. Two times, Christ said, I am the light of the world. Two times, Christ said, I am the door. And now two times, he says, I am the good shepherd. He's establishing this with a verily, verily. He's stamping this, know it, get it. There's only one good shepherd who the sheep belong to. Yes, we might be under shepherds, helping shepherd Christ's sheep in his stead right now, in his absence right now, and we have to give account to him, but the sheep don't belong to us. There's only one good shepherd who the sheep ultimately belong to, and it's the one who paid the full price for them. And you know why he laid down his life for the sheep? He says, I'm the good shepherd and know my sheep and have known of mine. He laid down his life for the sheep. He shed his blood on the cross of Calvary so that we could have relationship with him and he could have relationship with us. He says, I know my sheep. Right back in verse 3, he said, the sheep hear his voice. He calleth his own sheep by name and he leadeth them out. Verse 4, he goes before them and the sheep follow him for they know his voice. He goes, I know my sheep. He calls them by name. In verse 27, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. I know my sheep. Hallelujah. Remember David prayed, search me, O God. Try me. Know my heart. Know me. Know me. Search me. Try me. Know my heart. David was opening himself up to the good shepherd to search him and to know him in the deepest, most intimate, fullest way. Yes, God knows everybody in a general sense. But in Psalm 138, verse 6, the Lord only has respect. He only comes close to the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. Yeah, he knows everything about them, but he doesn't know them in a personal, deep, intimate, full way. The only ones he knows that he really draws close to, that he abides with, that he has fellowship with, are his sheep. We've been called into the fellowship with the Father and with the Son through this great and glorious gospel to draw close, and he wants to draw close to us. Just like James said, draw nigh to God, draw near to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. He'll come near to you. Jesus stands at the door of his own church in the book of Revelation chapter 3, the church of Laodicea. And he stands at the door and knocks as if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him and will sup with him and he with me. Jesus Christ is the good shepherd who not only laid down his life for the sheep, but cares about the sheep and wants to come close to the sheep and wants to know the sheep. And by the way, he does know his sheep. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. He comes close. He says, and I am known of mine. John 17, verse 3, Jesus Christ said, this is life eternal, that they, the sheep, might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. He knows us. But he wants us to know him too. And when we draw close and we begin to know him in a deep and an intimate and a full way, he wants us to be filled with all the fullness of God. John says, of his fullness, of all we received in grace for grace. He was full of grace and truth. He's going, I know my sheep and I'm known of mine. They know me. He wants to reveal, unveil himself to us. And that is eternal life, to know the Father and to know the Son. I love that scripture in Galatians chapter 4. It's kind of sad in the context, but wonderful truth contained there in Galatians 4 and verse 9. He's going, but now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God. You see, this relationship that we're called into through Jesus Christ's blood, through Jesus Christ's death, this relationship that we're called to rise to newness of life and draw near to the living God, it's a relationship where we can know him and he can know us in a deep and intimate way. And with this church, Paul's going, how, after you've known God, or rather are known of God, how do you turn back to the weak and beggarly elements? Come on. Only through the gospel and the true gospel, only through Jesus Christ and his blood and the true faith of Christ, can people actually know the living God and know Jesus Christ and have a relationship with the real living God, a real relationship where he knows us and we know him. Not some far off relationship like, oh, God's way out there and I pray these prayers and, you know, sometimes they get through, but never, I don't really know and I don't know what God's doing and I don't, maybe he's out to get me. No. We're talking about this good shepherd and sheep relationship. He's going, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep and I'm known of mine. By the way, in the physical realm, shepherds who actually care about their sheep and love what they do, they know every single one of their sheep. Every one of their sheep is named. They know them. They watch them. They oversee them. They make sure they're okay. They see if something's starting to trouble their sheep, and they move in to tend to it and to deal with it and deal with it properly. It's the kind of good shepherd we have. And you know what? Not only do the shepherds know the sheep, but the sheep know who their shepherd is. And if a stranger comes and tries to lead them, they ain't following the stranger's voice because they know the voice of the shepherd. They know the voice of the shepherd. Peter says in 1 2 verse 25, he says, for you were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Oh, the joy of both knowing and being known by the good shepherd. Come on, he's the shepherd and bishop of your souls. He cares about your soul. He knows, and you can know him. David cried out to the Lord. He said, oh Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Psalm 139. Remember, David was a shepherd. And now David's speaking like a sheep to his good shepherd. He says, thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. For there's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Again, this is David, one of God's sheep. He says, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Verse 13, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. He's the shepherd and bishop of our souls. David says in verse 17, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known of mine. Christ came to both lay down his life for the sheep, shed that blood, but then he came also to open up the door so that we could enter into relationship with himself and with his Father, so that they could know us in a deep personal way. Not like the proud. Yeah, God knows everything, but the proud, he knows afar off. No, to draw nigh by the blood of Christ, to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, to come through the way that he's consecrated through the veil, that is to say his flesh, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, to come nigh so that we could know our good shepherd and be known of him. David says, no matter where I go, you're right there with me. Your spirit's with me. Your presence is with me. Your right hand's leading me. Jesus is the good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. And he knows his sheep, calls them by name. He leads them out. He goes before them. He protects them. He feeds them. He provides for them. And he is known of his sheep. He came to unveil and to reveal himself, and ultimately through him reveal the Father, so that we could know the Father and the Son and have eternal life. This is session number 69 of the Gospel according to John. It's John chapter number 10, verses 11 through 14. Amen and amen.